Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 12th of May. Public school funding in Wisconsin this hour. It's somewhat unclear at the moment how much money will be restored to K-12 education in our state. The initial budget called for cutting $127 million from schools. The recent Marquette University Law School poll showed that that was not very popular among people in Wisconsin. 78% of the citizens and the state opposed that proposal. The governor said that tax projections would beat expectations and extra money would be channeled to schools, but a new report from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau says no additional revenue is expected. Parents groups have formed all over the state, pro-public school parent groups. When the budget was delivered in February, the cut for Wauwatosa Public Schools would have meant $900,000 less money. People were concerned about art orchestra, AP courses, and maybe even school maintenance work receiving cuts. So they have a support group, Wauwatosa's SOS Support Our Schools group, and we'll hear about all that they have done during the course of this hour. In Lake Mills, public forums have taken place, sponsored by Citizen Advocates for Public Education. It's an independent citizens group advocating for quality public schools in Lake Mills and keeping the people of that community aware of what's happening in the schools locally and throughout the state. We have two guests with us this hour of the program. Sandy Whistler is president of Lake Mills-based Citizen Advocates for Public Education, which was formed just a while ago. And she said that these groups are springing up because people are realizing that funding for public education has reached crisis proportions. She is a graduate of public schools in Waupun. And Sandy, thank you very much for being with us, including a one-room school. Are you serious?
I am serious. I actually lived out in the country, and I attended two different one-room schools before I attended a consolidated elementary school and then went on to Waupun High School, and after that got my degree in education from the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh. And my real interest in public education comes as much from the fact that I was a teacher, as well as I can remember my father, who was not able to attend high school. He was the oldest child, and he had to work on the family farm. And his priority for each of his children was that we not only attend high school, but that we be able to pursue whatever opportunities we wanted to pursue. And I can remember him, a conservative farmer, all through my growing up years, saying that whenever public education issues came up, if taxes had to go up, that was a good thing, because he believed in public education and he knew that it was important for all of us.
And where did you teach?
I taught in Appleton, and then I, after that, moved to Lake Mills and taught for about 22 years in Lake Mills.
Thank you so much for being with us. Also joining us in our studios here in Milwaukee, Dennis McBride. Dennis is a 4th District Alderman of the city of Wauwatosa. He is president of the Wauwatosa Common Council. He is a lawyer, practices in downtown Milwaukee, graduated from Wauwatosa East High School. He's the father of two TOSA East graduates and a current TOSA East student. He was one of the original members of Support Our Schools Wauwatosa when the group was formed. And we thank you very much for being with us too, Dennis.
Thank you. I can't say that I have a background as impressive as Sandy, but I'll try to keep up.
Your background is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
No one-room schools, though.
Right, exactly, but some pretty big-name schools. Let's start with the Wauwatosa. You have been incredibly active. When did you form, and why did you form?
It was in March, actually. The superintendent asked, and a member of the school board asked parents to come together to support the schools, and we had a meeting out at the district headquarters, and there were probably about 20 of us, and we were all we all shared a very deep passion for public schools, and particularly Wauwatosa schools. So we vowed then to do what we could to turn this ship around, and I think we're starting to do that.
And why are you passionate about Wauwatosa public schools and public schools?
Well, first of all, I'm a public school graduate. Four of my brothers also graduated from Wauwatosa East High School. My grandfather was a teacher at Superior Central High School. They actually, when he retired in 1948, they threw a day for him, the entire city.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
How nice.
Apart from that, Wauwatosa, like so many districts in the state, just provides excellent educations for the kids. And one of the things that we really care about in Wauwatosa is arts and music. Two-thirds of our students, we have over 7,000 students, two-thirds of our students are in some form of organized music, choir, orchestra, and band. We have over 1,000 kids playing in our All City Strings Festival, about 1,000 in the All City Band Festival, et cetera. So that's something we care about. The fine arts, our theater program, those are the things that some people would call luxuries. For us, they're necessities. They're part of the fabric of the city. Our theater program is much honored. It goes back to the 1920s. We're about to have $1 million renovation of our 1930 auditorium at Wauwatosa East. It's something that's just really part of the community. And studies will show that music education contributes to excellence in math and every other form of education. So this is not something frivolous. It's not a luxury. It's something that's really deeply part of the entire curriculum.
To say nothing of the fact that it makes you want to go to school.
Oh, there are times when I can't get my son out of bed but for the fact that he's going to play in the band concert that night.
Yeah,
you know.
How true.
I mean, he's a great student, but he has his days. He's a teenager.
Right. Sandy, let's talk about the quote that mm-hmm. I read. These grassroots groups are emerging because people are realizing funding for public education has reached crisis proportions. Why do you use that term, crisis proportions?
I use that term because since 2008, we have seen a decrease in funding, and the decrease continues, and I think it really hit the tipping point when the $127 million was projected being cut in this budget. CAPE formed in 2013 because three of us were following educational issues and felt that we needed to do something to advocate, at least in Lake Mills, for our teachers, for our facilities, and for our programming. And we did not feel the urgency that has emerged in this budget go-around. And I think, as I said, I think it's reached a tipping point where people are really seeing, as in Wauwatosa, we could have $900,000 cut from our budget. In Lake Mills, the projected figure is about $225,000, which has a tremendous impact on all school districts across the state. And as Dennis said, in Lake Mills, we just finished a strategic plan, and the emphasis on that came out to be, we value academics, arts, and athletics, and we want the funds to support all of those programs because our public school is the heart of our community. And in a small town like Lake Mills, the whole community attends the musical that is put on in the fall. The whole community is at Friday night football games where the pep band plays, and we can be immersed in a really fun activity for our community. We value our public schools, and we need funding to keep them growing and to keep them able to educate the children that we have coming to us right now.
I know both of your communities and others have been in touch with legislators in mm-hmm. Madison, and it would seem to me as though one of the reasons that we heard from legislators, the first thing they wanted to do was restore K-12 money. They must have been hearing from a lot of groups like yours and received a lot of mail. We'll talk about where that funding is right now, but essentially they said they wanted to restore the money, right?
Well, they're saying
no.
that.
They're not.
We'll see. The proof's in the pudding. We're hearing from a lot of people. I have a letter here from Representative Dale Kuyenga from Brookfield, who also represents part of Wauwatosa. This is April 15th. I'm committed to restoring and increasing the K-12 per pupil funding. I take him at his word. As our superintendent has pointed out many times, merely restoring the funding leaves us farther behind.
Why?
Because of inflation. We have the same problem at the city level. We have a property tax cap, which means that we can only keep our funding the same year after year after year, but inflation keeps going up. We still pay more for gasoline. We pay more for heating. We pay more for all the things that people pay for. Let me piggyback on something that Sandy just said. She said we've reached the tipping point. I just got this morning an email that says, this was Aaron Richards from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in a tweet For the first time ever, Wisconsin will fall below the national average for per pupil spending this year. We used to be 10% higher. Now, folks, you know, one of the things that has made Wisconsin so great for all these years is we have one of the finest K through 12 systems in the country and one of the finest university systems. Every year when they do the national testing, the four states in the upper Midwest are the ones that lead the way, or four or five. It's usually in no particular order: Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa. There's a reason for that. These are Midwestern states with deeply held values. Sandy touches on this community aspect. Private schools are wonderful. We have many private schools in the Milwaukee area and throughout Wisconsin that are wonderful. But there's one thing that a private school can never do that a public school does, and that is provide the sense of community that Sandy talked about. Everybody, we just had our spring musical. Everybody in the community showed up. The parades, the homecoming parades, the award ceremonies, the football games, all these things create a sense of community that you cannot create in a private school.
When will you have a definitive word as to how much money? I know the Joint Finance is having meetings today, and after you heard that there was going to be a restoration of fundings, not what you need to keep up with inflation, we heard shortly thereafter that the projections for an increase in revenue were off the mark, and we were not going to see an increase in revenue, which the governor said would be something that would be great for the funding again of public schools. Are we just in a state of limbo here where the money would be found to restore $127 million to public education?
We're in a state of limbo in terms of finding out the actual final numbers. But what we're not in a state of limbo about is we're continuing to push hard. And I'm sure Sandy and I know the groups in Whitefish Bay and other parts of the state are doing the same. We're continuing to press our legislators because, you know, this is sort of like a race. And I used to be I'm still a distance runner. I don't compete as much. But you don't stop just because you're 10 yards from the finish line. You keep running through the tape, and that's what we're doing here. We're running through the tape because we're reminding our legislators over and over again. We attend every town hall meeting that they have in our district. We write letters. We collect postcards. When I was at the musical on Saturday night, I collected 100 postcards with names and addresses of people saying, "Support public education." We have signs going up around the neighborhoods. This is something we're going to keep pushing on, and I know that Sandy's group and others will do the same.
You're doing the same.
We are not quite as active as the Wauwatosa group has been, but they certainly have provided the motivation for us to sign on to the op-ed that was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We delivered copies of that op-ed to the members of the Joint Finance Committee when we were at the Capitol last week. We've become energized because we're a small rural district, and to see suburban and urban districts around the state stand up for our public schools and to ask for support of them has been wonderful. And I would agree with what Dennis says, is we don't know when we will get final budget numbers, but even those final budget numbers will not be the end. I think this is just the beginning of a grassroots movement across Wisconsin to say we want you to support our public schools. We believe they're the heart of our communities. They're the foundation of our democracy. And we also feel that public education should never have become a political issue. Public education serves the public. And I think Diane Ravitch says it really well when she said, "Public education is a public responsibility, not a consumer good." And the public responsibility part of that is just starting to happen in terms of our local community saying, we value public education. We need our legislators to support that.
As you both know, there's going to be an expansion of voucher schools in Wisconsin and charter schools as well. Can you throw
that
in?
Not necessarily.
You don't think there will be?
Well, we're all reading the tea leaves, and the tea leaves are usually in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or the State Journal or something. But we're reading everything we can. And Speaker Voss was heard to say the other day that he didn't think there would be an expansion of charter and voucher schools this time. And it's all driven by the numbers. What we kept hearing, as you've pointed out, is, well, when the revenue projections come in, we expect them to be higher. There was an awful lot of magical thinking going on, and I don't know where it came from. But what we do know now is that the Legislative Fiscal Bureau has said there isn't an increase. So the money has to come from somewhere, and I'm hoping that Speaker Voss is correct in saying there won't be an expansion. We're not here to fight the charter voucher versus public fight at this point. What we're talking about is, first of all, restoring and then increasing the funding for K through 12. I'm going to echo what Sandy just said. When I mentioned running through the tape is farther out than June of 2015. We've already promised to each other in Wauwatosa that we're going to continue this fight. This is going to go on, and we're not going to stop now. We think that the legislature is finally hearing us, and as Henny pointed out, these decreases have gone back into the Doyle administration, so this isn't Republican and Democrat. It goes back into the Thompson administration. We haven't had good funding for public education for over 20 years in this state. And it's time now. We're putting our foot down and saying enough is enough. Do what you will with charter and voucher, but don't penalize public education, because that's where our communities are built and where our communities are based.
Well, why have we seen a decrease in public funding? I mean, obviously, everybody goes to school. Most people have gone to public school, and I think that you beautifully talked about how it built a sense of community, and it's the centerpiece of a community. It's opened everybody, opened the doors to all, come in. It's a cornerstone of American democracy. Why would we not want to fund? Why is it even an issue?
There's a myth out there, and what I told people at our first meeting is don't ever let people tell you that public education isn't working. It's working. The myth formed around the fact that the people in Milwaukee public schools are struggling. They know how to educate people. The number one ranked high school in the state year after year is Rufus King High School, which is a Milwaukee public school. Number three in one of the polls I saw was Ronald Reagan High School on the south side of Milwaukee, a Milwaukee public school. Number four, by the way, was Wauwatosa East. But don't tell the people in Brookfield and Mequon and Eau Claire and Green Bay and Wausau and Madison and Racine that their schools are not working, because they're working. They're working in Shorewood, and they're working in Wauwatosa, they're working in Germantown. Public schools are working. They're working in Milwaukee, where people have the opportunity to have breakfast every morning, and they have eyeglasses, and they have dental care, and their parents don't move them four times a year. Those are the problems that Milwaukee public schools face that we don't face as much. So that myth formed around Milwaukee public schools, but the fact is that in Wauwatosa and Lake Mills and in other places, we're providing a quality education. So the myth has to stop. We're pushing back, and we're saying we want our kids to be educated well, and we want them to be educated well in a public school, in a diverse setting where they can get all these cultural amenities that many private schools, frankly, can't provide.
You want to add to that, Sandy?
I don't think I have much to add. Dennis said it very well, and I would agree that the myth has been created that public education is not working, and that is so wrong, because we know that it's working. When it's not working, where there appears to be an achievement gap is caused by the fact that there are other factors that we don't really want to look at. And the biggest one of those is poverty. And until we address the causes of the poverty, we will not change the achievement. And it has been very convenient to blame public schools and public school teachers for that low achievement and for the achievement gap. And that is wrong. Public schools can only reflect the community that they are in. And when there is a problem with school achievement, the problem needs to be addressed by looking at what's causing that gap. And if it's poverty, then let's deal with the issues related to poverty, whether it's providing wraparound services, whether it's providing smaller class sizes, different resources. That's what we need to be doing.
Well, oh my gosh, all the phones are going, and I haven't even given the phone number yet, so we will go to phone calls. And let me give the number. It is busy right now. You can send an email if you'd like. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Public school funding in Wisconsin is what we're talking about this hour, and from a different kind of slant, about parents who have become very involved in making sure that our public schools get proper funding. Dennis McBride, 4th District Alderman of the City of Wauwatosa, an original member of Support Our Schools Wauwatosa. Sandy Whistler, a former school teacher, current president of Citizen Advocates for Public Education in Lake Mills, and we will be with you in just a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, to phone calls, public school funding in the state of Wisconsin. We have all kinds of phone calls, and we start with Reed in Clintonville. Hi, Reed.
Good afternoon. Say, very quickly, teachers foretold what was about to happen right directly after the governor devastated teachers' unions, and the entire state did not listen, I'm sorry to say. But I would like to make one other comment. The gentleman spoke so eloquently about the fact that public schools serve the entire community. However, public schools also serve every student that applies to go to school there, whereas charter and voucher schools can be extremely selective, do not have to take special needs students or any other student that they do not wish to take, and yet they collect public funds for their particular programs, many of which are religious programs, which may not be part of the religious philosophy of parents sending students to public schools, but they have to support that religion because the voucher and charter schools will be receiving public funds. Other than that, I would just say that Wisconsin at one time ranked in probably the top two percentile of public education in the nation, and no longer. We are now much closer to Mississippi's educational ranking than we ever were to, or than we were to our original ranking. And thank you. I'll just hang up and
thanks,
listen to
thanks,
the comment.
Reed, for the call. Well, in terms of the quality of public schools, that may not be true, right, that we're tied with Mississippi in terms of quality. We still have high-quality schools, don't we?
We have very high-quality schools that continue to have high graduation rates, some of the highest ACT and SAT scores mm-hmm. in the country. I had once heard someone refer to the Wisconsin being part of the Midwest powerhouse of education. And I think right now we still reflect that, and we are part of that, and we want to maintain that. And that is why we're in this fight for full funding and fair funding for our public schools.
But I know teachers who are leaving the profession because they're not getting the support they need, both financially and otherwise. And there's only so much love that a parent can give to a teacher. Sooner or later, they have to feed their own children.
I worry about that because you look at the number of people going into teacher education programs in the state, and we're already seeing that number go down, and people going to other states as well. It has become, and I don't know how you counter this, Dennis, it's become a very political subject now. I mean, why? Why has it become so political when it's about educating our children, and what do we do about that?
Well, at the town hall meetings I've attended, I've said to the Republican legislators who represent Wauwatosa, you know, there's nothing partisan about this. Wisconsin has been led by Republican governors for most of its history, going back to 1848, and has a very proud tradition of education, going back to the first days of our statehood. We founded the University of Wisconsin immediately upon statehood, and we built this great university system, and underneath it, we built this wonderful K-12 system. And the Republican Party can take an awful lot of credit for that. And it is known as the party of business, and business generally supports education because it needs qualified people to work in the factories and in the offices and all the other places. And the business community seems silent on this issue, both K-12 and UW. And for whatever reason, the party in power right now seems to want to renounce its very laudable heritage. And I don't know what the I can't answer your question. I don't know why it's become politicized. What I do know is that education is the hallmark of a civilized society and a society that knows how to make money and do well in business.
I do believe that part of that is coming from the fact that there is a real movement toward privatization of public education, not just in Wisconsin but across the country. I used to think that that was just something that people talked about and would never happen. But as I've watched things unfold over the past several years, I do think that that's a very real possibility. There's a lot of money to be made if you can tap into taxpayer funds and use it for whatever endeavor you want to use it for. And if we are moving toward independent charter schools and that sort of thing. The CEOs of those charter schools can make a lot of money, and the money that comes from taxpayers does not get directed to students. It gets directed to the administration. And I just want to agree with what Dennis said before. We started this as our goal being to have funding of $250 per student increase and to take the non-fiscal items out of the budget. And I believe that both the voucher school question and the charter school question are really policy items that should not be discussed as part of the budget process. They should be taken out of the budget so we can explore all the ramifications before we even talk about dollars supporting them.
Thanks, Reed, for your call. Let's go to Joseph in Madison. Hi, Joseph.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that there's the question going on, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? This doesn't make any logical sense whatsoever. I just want to say I think it's pretty clear at this point that there is a wholesale attack against the middle class, and there's just no denying it anymore. As Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York recently said, I'm not saying Scott Walker set out to destroy Wisconsin's middle class, but if that were his mission, I can't think of a thing that he would do differently. This has been going on for a long time. When you have our government, both Democrat and Republican, bailing out criminal Wall Street bankers, allowing the NSA to create an illegal spying program, and no one's going to get prosecuted.
Joseph, let's move it back to education, please.
I'm getting to my point. Funding the military to these incredible amounts, but then taking away money from our greatest investment of all. This is a wholesale attack on the middle class.
Thank you, Joseph, for your call. Let's talk about where the money may come from. If you don't have as much revenue coming in, is there something wrong with our priorities? Would you take money out of some other budget and put it into education? How would you move the money around?
Well, I have another article here that I just printed out. It's from the May 11th Business Journal. It's written by Rich Kirchen, who is a friend of mine and a Wauwatosa East graduate, senior reporter for the Business Journal. Why Governor Walker nixed $147 million for UWM building projects. Now, that's the university system, but the point is, the point Rich is making in this article is that Walker says there's going to be no spending on capital projects at the UW system because he's doubling down on transportation spending. And we all know that transportation spending keeps eating up a larger and larger and larger amount of the budget. Actually, this year it's sort of off budget because he intends to borrow so much money, which has a lot of legislators from both parties very concerned about the level of borrowing. But what we're seeing here is a lot of spending on items that are really kind of short-term items. If you think about it, I mean, a road lasts for a while and all, but what is a longer-term item than educating a child well, making him a productive member of society, taking him to the university level, educating him well again, and making him even more productive, and sending him back into the Wisconsin workforce. That's a long-term investment, and that's what Sandy and I are here to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And Sandy, what you've been in Madison, I'm sure you have too, Dennis, and you've met with legislators at forums. What response are you getting when you talk about all that we've been talking about? What do they say?
When we met with them last Tuesday, it was before the budget projections came out. So at that point, several of their assistants told us that definitely the additional revenue would be used for K-12 funding. We didn't meet with them on Wednesday, so I don't know what their response would be. But I do know that there has been an alternative budget proposed, and there have been three sources of revenue that would provide about $700 million that could be used to provide money for K-12 education, for the university system, and other projects. And that would include accepting the Medicaid funding. It would include the property tax credit, and also a manufacturer credit. There would just be three examples of things that could be done that would not raise taxes, but that would provide us with the revenue that we need to truly invest in our future, because I believe that investing in public education is an investment in our future, and it's something that needs to be done.
Our number is 800-486-8655. Email, if you can't get through, is talk@WPR.org. Let's say you're not successful and you can't get money restored for whatever reasons. Play this out for a while with me. We've already talked about teachers not entering the profession and feeling that they're not getting paid enough money and their profession being under attack. When you look at what could happen 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, what are you looking at if you can't get the kind of funding increase think you need?
Let me give you examples that I know from the UW system, and I'll extrapolate to the K-12. I already know, because my sister is a professor at UW-Milwaukee, that many of her colleagues have already left for greener pastures. The University of Texas loves to take away our UW professors. University of Minnesota, once it heard about the governor's proposals this year, immediately started trying to poach our professors. My youngest brother is the founding associate dean of the School of Public Health at Washington University in St. Louis. He was recruited to come to UWM. He's a UWM grad. He loves Milwaukee. He wanted to come, and he said, I don't trust that this state government is going to fund it, keep its promises to fund the new School of Public Health at UWM. So he took his name out of the running. What we talked about earlier is teachers leaving the profession at the high school and the elementary levels. And we're going to see more and more of that. You just have to give people an incentive to be part of this system. And then finally, what we don't want to get into is taking away the theater program to fund the mathematics department. We don't want to take away the fine arts curriculum to fund something else or have a clash between the football team and the choir. But that's where we could be headed if we continue this drain of public resources.
Let's go to Chris in Milwaukee. Hi.
Students, I taught art and English and theater, but the fight that's going on right now is for democracy. It isn't a fight for just schools. Our democracy will go down the tube if we don't have public schools that take all kids.
Well, you sound like Thomas Jefferson, and I couldn't agree with you more. Thomas Jefferson was, I think, the founding father who most strongly supported the notion of universal public education for children, because he understood that to be full participants in our democracy, we had to have an educated populace. And since that time, of course, the voting ranks have swelled from 21-year-old white males with property to universal suffrage. So it's really important, though, for those voters to be fully educated, and they can best do that in a good, strong public education system.
Sandy?
Yes, I would just add on to Dennis's comments, because only our public schools guarantee every child access to a free education. They assure equal educational opportunities for all children. They unify the diverse populations within our communities, and they're accountable for preparing our students for their responsibilities as citizens. They're accountable to the students. They're also accountable to the citizens of their communities and to the taxpayers of our state, and I think that's very important.
This Marquette University poll that came out a little while ago, I thought was telling, that it showed that 78%, that's a huge number, 78% of the people in the state opposed the proposal for cutting $127 million. Don't you think that people in Madison, legislators, have to respond to that in some way? That's a 78% like public schools.
I think we're seeing them respond already. When we started this process several months ago, we were looking at a $127 million cut statewide. With all the pressure that we've all been putting on and that poll, what we've seen now are a lot of statements from legislators that they want to restore funding, some saying increase. I think that, look, it's just what Mr. Dooley used to say about the Supreme Court filing the election returns. I'm a politician. We look at polls. We look at emails. They know what they're hearing from their constituents.
And I think prior to this, most people just assumed that the funding for public education was there and it was continuing. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, I think the $127 million cut was a real tipping point where many people, started to become aware that the funding is not going to continue unless we get actively involved.
Let's go next to Chris. Thanks for your call. Another Chris in Black Creek. Hi, Chris.
Hi, crystalsforkids.com. I wanted to, thanks for taking me in. I've been going, traveling from school to school throughout the states for over 12 years, educating kids on science and gemology. And, you know, back when I first started, I was able to do the presentations for free. And, you know, because of the economy, I had to start charging. Well, the schools, you know, they, or somebody would file for a grant, or the school would receive a grant, and I'm seeing those disappear as well. You know, what's going to happen if we lose those special presentations that kids have been getting? And if you look at the ones that I've done, there's some video on my website. They're very educational, and the kids respond dramatically. Their studies improve.
Thank you, Chris, for your call. What has happened, and I always thought that was a big thing when I was a student and for our children as well, field trips are great. Museums and some schools are really creative, and you can have terrific learning experiences going to D.C. or going to Gettysburg or many places. What's happened with funding for those kinds of educational experiences in public schools in Wisconsin? Do we know?
I believe in Lake Mills that the students are required to pay the expense for the field trip, and the PTO organization provides funds for children who are not able to come up with the money on their own. But more and more, I know in Lake Mills, and again, I'm sure in school districts across the state, student fees are rising to compensate for the funding that's not there. Mm-hmm. You might see this in Wauwatosa, right?
We're getting nicked here and we're getting nicked there. There's always a fee to pay for something. So it's we're pretending that tuition is free and tuition keeps rising.
Thanks for the call. Mary in Elm Grove. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to throw out a suggestion that people rarely address in terms of getting more people to enter into the field of teaching. I taught for 18 years at an independent school. I taught AP Sciences. I have a PhD, but in any public school, I would not be allowed to teach. I really think that that needs to be looked at, especially in very content-heavy areas like the sciences. I think it would make a big difference for quality of education. But part of the problem is I don't think the teachers' union wants to give up that control. And so then what we end up seeing, and I tutor a lot, but we end up seeing is teachers with a license who really don't know the material quite as well as they should.
Oh, I would disagree with you. I know a lot of wonder. I think teachers are getting a bum rap these days. I think a lot of teachers know the material. But I had never heard that if you have a PhD, you can't teach in a public school. Is that
We've
true?
Had PhDs in the Wauwatosa schools. In fact, one of the girls that I went to school with, her father taught at Tosa East, and he was a PhD. We called him Dr. Borg. So I'm not sure that your facts are quite straight.
And let's go to David in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
This great conversation. I really agree with everything that has been said, but I want to give a warning, and that is the voucher program. In this budget, the vouchers are uncapped at 4 grade levels, and any family that is 300% of poverty and below qualifies for a voucher. Well, I taught I was a school counselor in the Coosa School District, and we've had declining enrollment for a really long time. We have a tech ed room at the middle school that's closed. We used to have like 3.5 tech ed teachers. We're down to 1, I think, district-wide. We had 5 counselors. We're down to 2, and maybe they hired a half back for the elementary building. At one point, we lost all our librarians, and now they're combining grade levels together. You know, so in our area, I mean, maybe this isn't true for Wauwatosa because you're so big, but for us, if 10 kids from the elementary building go to Assumption Middle School or they go to one of the Catholic grade schools, that just destroys our building. Now, well, not completely. I don't want to exaggerate, but we're going to lose a teacher because of that.
Right.
Because we lose the state aid. So if the Republican plan is to do 4 grade levels this year, what about the next budget? you know, it's a systematic destruction of the viability of public schools.
Sandy.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. When we partnered with the Support Our Schools group and the other two groups from the Milwaukee area, our intent was to push for an increase in funding and take the non-fiscal items out of the budget. We did not choose to take a stance or try to discuss the whole voucher and charter school issue. I do hear your concern. In a small town like Lake Mills, the same thing could happen. And voucher schools are not equally accountable. They're not equally accessible. And I think they should be taken out of the budget, and they should be discussed as policy items before they are discussed as budget items.
Thanks very much for your call. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. This hour, we're talking about funding for public education in Wisconsin. There initially, when the budget was given to us in February, a cut of $127 million from K through 12 education. I think legislators heard from a number of people all over the state, and they said that they wanted to restore the money but not increase the money. Now we know that the projections for increased revenue well, they're not going to happen. The projections weren't correct. And so there is still a question as to how much money will be restored to public education. We're speaking with members of parents groups, and they've become extremely active all over the state. Members of Wauwatosa's SOS support group has sent thousands of letters to state lawmakers. They have yard signs, they have T-shirts, they have websites, they go door-to-door. In Lake Mills, public forums have been sponsored by Citizen Advocates for Public Education, and they have been keeping people in that community aware of what's happening in the schools locally and throughout the state. So we have two guests with us from Wauwatosa and from Lake Mills. Sandy Whistler is a former school teacher, current president of Citizen Advocates for Public Education of Lake Mills. Dennis McBride, 4th District Alderman of the city of Wauwatosa, an original member of Support Our Schools Wauwatosa. He's a graduate of Wauwatosa East, as are several of his children. One is still in school at Wauwatosa East. So we're taking your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Hour two of our program today, we're going to be talking. We've done a lot of shows on these honor flights. I'm always so moved, particularly by the World War II vets who were losing them in huge numbers every day. My dad was one, and that's maybe why I was particularly moved by their stories. These honor flights have been going on for some years now, and they're taking veterans, the oldest vets, so it's still World War II and Korean War vets, to see their memorials, and they do it with great fanfare and great good hearts on the part of so many people. Jonathan Lucroy was a volunteer on one of the honor flights in November, and the Journal Sentinel did a documentary featuring him and the people that he interviewed who were on that flight, and he's going to be with us. Of course, Milwaukee Brewers all-star catcher will also speak with two of the people who are on the trip who were vets, a Korean War veteran, and also with a World War II veteran. So that's coming up, hour number two. Don't miss it. More phone calls momentarily. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go back to phone calls. Elaine in Colfax is next. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I just wanted to thank the teachers that I had in high school because they literally saved my life. I had a very tragic teenage years with my father out of work and my mother working three jobs, and there were six kids. And I had a breakdown, a serious, traumatic, terrible years. The teachers did not give up on me. I had left school, and they refused to give up on me. And they called my father in. They planned assignments. My father went every week, brought the assignments home. He took them to school, and I got a high school degree. And I went on years later to go to college and have special academic honors. So I appreciate the teachers. I believe they can step in and be parents when your parents fail or when their stress is so overwhelming they lose the ability to parent properly. And I just wanted to say that I believe we should all gather in Madison to support the K through 12, the university system that's excellent. And I'm just, you know, kind of traumatized by this this idea that teachers are being attacked. I mean, teachers really, literally saved my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Dennis?
Well, I have several siblings who are teachers, and I know that they've gone through similar things with their students. My brother's an art teacher out in Waukesha, and he works till 1 in the morning working on student projects. I have a sister-in-law who's a social worker in the West Allis schools, and then later in the St. Francis schools. And the stories she tells are quite heartbreaking, too. And we forget how important teachers and people in schools are to our children at a time when our children have nowhere else to turn.
How true. And I think that we all think about people in our lives. We can all, I won't get into this now, but we could list two people who were teachers who were incredibly important people in our lives who discovered some talent that we had or got us interested in some subject. They're just crucial human beings in everybody's life, aren't they?
Well, the Wauwatosa School District kind of saved me from a life of crime, too, by giving me a recreation apartment to keep me out of trouble in the summer, mostly out of trouble. But, I mean, I think back on that, too, and it really, you know, you need to give kids leadership, guidance, and a place to be. And if you don't give them that, and the schools provide that for our kids, we won't have the society we have. We can talk about all the struggles in the big cities and all that, but these are kids that just need a little bit more love and a little more involvement from parents and from teachers and from community members like us.
Mm-hmm. And I see that in Lake Mills as well. Since I retired, I've been substitute teaching, so I can observe the teaching profession from a different angle. And I continue to be amazed at the way the teachers in the schools that I am in work to meet the individual needs of children, to create a learning environment that meets that specific child's needs, and to recognize individual differences in children and know that we need to give credibility and we need to support all of them. And they work every day way beyond the hours that you would ever imagine to make that happen.
And I'm sure you, at least I hope you, have had students come to you and thank you, Sandy, for having a huge impact on their lives.
Oh, definitely. And it's especially fun to watch these young children turn into adults who now, just yesterday I had an experience where one of them was my nurse. And, you know, we've talked about in Lake Mills how, you know, the person who responds if you need to call the EMTs might be one of your former students. And, you know, the person who's the lawyer down the block might have been one of your former students. So definitely.
So where do you go from here? When do you expect some news about what's going to happen? What are your plans?
Well, first we're going to hear from the Joint Finance Committee. And they, you know, the newspapers always call it the all-powerful Joint Finance Committee. We'll see. And then early to mid-June, we're going to get a state budget. We're going to find out. But as I say, we're going to keep pushing you through the tape because we have to do that. And again, this is not for today. It's for tomorrow. And we're going to keep this effort going for the years to come, and we hope to partner with our friends across the state because legislators need to keep hearing from parents, the 78% who said don't cut the schools.
Yeah.
They need to keep hearing from us, and they need to know that our priority as parents is education.
And you have about 30 seconds left, and you have parent groups all over the state. It's not just your two groups.
Correct.
Right?
And there are more groups emerging every day, and I would agree with Dennis, even when we get to the tape on this particular issue in this budget cycle, we're here for the long haul, and we're here to say our public schools matter, and we are here to advocate for them.
Thank you both so much for being with us. A very interesting hour. Our guest, Sandy Whistler, former school teacher, current president of Citizen Advocates for Public Education in Lake Mills. Dennis McBride, 4th District Alderman, City of Wauwatosa. He is a lawyer who works downtown Milwaukee and an original member of Support Our Schools Wauwatosa. Has several children who have graduated from Wauwatosa East and one who is still in school there. And he graduated from school there. And Sandy also graduated from public schools, including a one-room schoolhouse. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour and to KP as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Honor Flight volunteer Jonathan Lucroy Luke is joining us for part of next hour. He is, of course, Milwaukee Brewers all-star catcher, and will speak with a World War II vet and a Korean War vet about their honor flight, which took place in November.